Welcome to the Vintage Church Podcast. Vintage Church is passionate about living the gospel, serving the city, and being the church through individuals, community groups, and gatherings in New Orleans and beyond. For more information, visit VintageChurchNOLA.com. Here is this week's message from our lead pastor, Rob Wilton.
Let's turn our hearts, turn our gaze unto the Lord this morning. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
A shout of praise in the house. Come on. Whether you've been rolling with us for a while or whether this is your first time experiencing the Vintage Church family, we want you to know that that anthem that we just sung together in our music arts team killing it today. Can we give it up? That anthem of turning our eyes upon Jesus. Can I just tell you, My wife and I had the privilege of answering God's call to plant this church about 10 years ago in our living room uptown. That's been our mission, is that we would see a mighty movement of God with people in this city turning their eyes upon Jesus. And whether you know it or not today, maybe you were invited by a friend who's part of our church family, or maybe I believe the Spirit of God might have led you. You might have thought that you just saw some promo on Facebook. That's the Spirit of God working through Facebook. And you're here, I believe, for a divine appointment. You're not here as a mistake. You're not here by chance. And can I just tell you that our church family, for weeks, we've been praying for you. We've been anticipating life change. We love these change weekends because we come with great expectations. Sometimes your expectation will determine your experience. So we've come with great expectation. We've written out names. We've been praying for our friends, for our neighbors, for our coworkers in the city. Maybe you're Max today that we've been praying for. Maybe you're Eric or Mark. Maybe you're Rob B here today. Maybe you're Ross S. Maybe you're Israel. Maybe you're Stephen M. Maybe you're Chris. We filled out tons of these cards thinking about you today, praying for you today. And if you're here and you're just trying out church. Maybe you're curious. No matter where you are, can I just tell you our prayer today, even if you're here and you know Jesus and maybe you haven't necessarily focused, is that you would look upon Jesus. And so as we go into this time, as we get ready, I just want to share the simple Jesus story with you today. And I want to invite you today to come and believe in Jesus today. But before we do that, I'm going to ask if every head would be bowed, every eye would be closed. And I'm going to ask in this moment right now for us to just sing this chorus, Robert. And for us to just sing this boldly to the Lord and ask for the Lord to reveal His presence, His name, His love, His hope, His transformation, His life in our lives. So come on, let's sing this together. We have our heads bowed, eyes closed. Come on, just sing to Jesus. There's an audience of one in the house.
Look for it.
Sing to Him.
His wonderful face.
Worship Him. Sing that one more time, Robert. The Spirit of God is so rich in this place right now. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. As we have sung this song together, Lord, that it's our heart, it's our desire to turn our eyes upon You, to look to You. Lord, we ask that You would come in and that You would do for us what we cannot do for ourselves in this moment. Lord, that You would bring life to those who are seeking it. Lord, You'd bring encouragement. So many of us here in this city, Lord, had such a rough day, and we're still walking so nervously right now with the flooding, and we've had vehicles damaged and homes damaged, and Lord, we don't take that lightly here in this city, Lord. We walk in fear and trembling at the thought of flooding. But Lord, in this moment right now, we're not looking at the wind and the waves. We're looking at the one who controls the wind and the waves. Lord, we thank you for providing peace that can even sometimes pass our understanding. Lord, for those who are here in this house, Lord, that maybe you're just curious, or maybe they are hurting. It's bigger than just something that happened yesterday with flooding. But man, up until this point, Lord Jesus, their life has just been filled with tons of struggle and challenge and pain and brokenness. Lord, would you come in and would you breathe life into hearts? Would you reveal your hope? Would you bring transformation? And Lord, ultimately through the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you bring salvation, life change? Jesus, you are changing this world one life at a time. Lord, I'm a testimony of that. Lord, at the age of 7, you saved me by your grace as I place my faith and trust in you. And Lord Jesus, I pray that today, Lord, that you would do the same thing that you did for me back in 1988 here in this place right now in people's lives. Jesus, you are worthy. Lord, you have welcomed us in your presence. So Lord, move. Move in and through this powerful name of Jesus and unleash revival in this house that would multiply beyond this house to every street of this city and every city in this world. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. We all say amen together. Amen. We all grab a seat. It is such a great honor for me to be able to present to you the gospel of Jesus Christ today. My name is Rob Wilton. I serve as the preaching pastor here, and I'm so excited to journey with you as just for a few moments. I want to tell you about my favorite thing to tell you about, which is Jesus. I want to go ahead and let you know ahead of time, as we get ready to open up God's word, I want to invite you to come and believe in the name of Jesus. To come and believe in the name of Jesus. In just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to give your life to Christ. At 9 a.m., can we just give it up for Jesus? At 9 a.m., we saw about 5 or 6 people come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yes, Jesus is changing lives. And so I'm going to go ahead and tell you ahead of time, if you're here today and you'd say, man, I'm searching or whatever else, I'm praying that the Spirit of God would get a hold of your life and that you would fall desperately in love with Jesus today by surrendering your life to him. And in just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to respond by lifting up your hand. And when you lift up your hand, those of you who receive Christ as Lord and Savior, we've got an amazing resource. Our lead pastor, Pastor Dustin Turner, has put together with our equipping team this changed resource, okay? It says, I've been changed. Some of you are tripping. You're like, changed. What is going on? This is changed. We rocked a little Run DMC logo, and that's how we came up with this, okay? And so this is, I've been changed. And so we want to give you these boxes so that you can begin this amazing journey with Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to come and believe, because Jesus is the greatest thing in the world. What we're offering to you is something that is so greater than anything in this world. Do you know that Jesus speaks about this in John chapter 6 and verse 35? Jesus said these words. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, everybody say comes. Now say it like you mean it, comes. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes, everybody say believes. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Come and believe. Listen, a lot of people right now in the fall, especially students and athletes and stuff, are getting ready for fall sports. I have the privilege of serving as the New Orleans Saints chaplain, and with the guys this past week, man, they're getting ready. They're hitting the weights, and they're preparing for the season and doing all this kind of stuff. Man, this season right now is just kind of filled with tons of pep talks and tons of inspirational things, and you got to believe and charge the hill and all this other kind of stuff. I took my boys out because they're getting ready for flag football season. Mr. Drew Brees is opening up a brand new flag football league, and so we're going to be on his team, and it's going to be so much fun. My twin boys are so pumped, and my oldest son, Bolt, I'll just say this. My son, Bolt, he's an inventor, okay? And so he would rather create things and design things. He's going to be brilliant. I know he's going to invent something so that I'll finally get that boat on Lake Pontchartrain. And so, listen, we're so excited. But Bolt, you know, he has to kind of be manipulated into playing sports. I took them to the gym just a couple days ago to kind of get ready for flag football. And in order to get Bolt pumped up about flag football, you have to make it a competition with his twin brothers. And then he's in, right? But if you don't make it a competition with the brothers, he could care less. He'd rather go build some things. And so I got Bolt in. I got the twins in. And the twins, you know, like as soon as they see a ball bouncing, they're in. They're ready to tackle people. Y'all have probably been tackled at church. I apologize for that because these kids just love it. So my twin boys are in. I'm giving them pep talks. I'm teaching basic rules about flag football. And I don't know where they get this. They probably get it from their mama, but the boys got a little cocky. And as they started to get a little cocky after we got some of the basics down, I started to hear from my twin boys, "Daddy, go longer. Go longer." Right? So I would run all the way to the other side of the gym, and there's no way they're going to make it, right? Because they're limited. But, man, they're believing. I love that they're believing. Man, they're pumped up. Daddy pumped them up. They made a couple passes half court, so I go longer, and you never guess what happened. Even with their full belief in their ability to be able to throw it full court, it only went half court. It fell way short. I'm even reading a book right now. It's a memoir of the journey of the company called Nike. Shaq, you like my fresh Nikes? I'm rocking some fresh Nikes today. And so, look, we got Nike. Everybody knows about Nike. And so there's a cool biography, a memoir. It's called Shoe Dog. And it's written by Phil Knight, who is the founder of Nike. And it tells about his story of creating this epic brand that's global, that's everywhere. And what's the theme of Nike? Just do it, right? Making you believe. Just do it. And so I'm all about these things. Listen, I love it. I love being brought in to pump up business leaders. We had a packed house at our downtown Bible study this past Wednesday, and so join us once a month. I love going into sports teams and yelling at athletes and getting them fired up, you know. I love all this pep talk stuff, but can I just tell you, if your hope is in yourself, or if your hope is in anything in this world, no matter how much you want to believe, no matter how much you might even grow in your ability to do something, it is limited. It is limited. No matter what accolades you might get, no matter how much positivity you surround yourself in, if your hope, if everything that you're banking on is something from this world or in your own power and ability, it is limited. What I offer to you is this verse that we've just read where Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life." He says, "Whoever comes to me shall never be hungry." You see that limitless? He declares something limitless. You shall never be hungry. I get to rock out with some of the people in this world that have a lot of what this world offers. They'll be the first to tell you that nothing in this world can ultimately satisfy you. Keep trying to get more. Keep trying to climb to that ladder of success. It ultimately won't satisfy you. Well, Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, you're never going to be hungry. Whoever believes in me, get this, not even after good crawfish boil, you'll never thirst." You'll never thirst. Limitless. Jesus declares, "Come and believe." May I submit to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. At Vintage Church, when we share about the gospel of Jesus Christ, this limitless salvation that is so far beyond or above anything in this world, we first of all talk about God, God's creation. That's a good place to begin. Because in the beginning was not you. Believe it or not, in the beginning was not New Orleans. In the beginning was not this or a denomination or even a religion. In the beginning was God. And so when you share about the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ, you start with God. It says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said it was good. He created Adam and Eve, said they were very good. But we know in this narrative, this beautiful God story, that secondly, there is our condition. Yes, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created us. But our earthly parents, Adam and Eve, sinned against God. They disobeyed God. They disrupted the shalom that was with God. And that sin, the Bible says, separated us from God. God's word says that that sin not only separates us from God, but it damns us. The wages of sin is death. That's our condition. If you're giving church a try for the first time in the house, you're a little bit nervous because I wore a coat today and I'm dressed up in my church clothes. Raise your hand if you're a sinner in the house. We're all sinners. We've all been given this total depravity, this curse of man that separates us from God, that's worthy of hell. But I'll also let you know, if you began to walk around this room and ask people their God story, they'd tell you that they've been set free from that sin, that they are no longer identified as a sinner. But guess what? They're a saint. Who dat? They're a saint. And this amazing belief, coming and believing in Jesus, was provided thirdly because of God's provision. Anyone thankful for Emmanuel, God with us, that God came to us, that we didn't have to go to him? Anybody thankful for that? Listen, much like if you went around this room and you started to say, hey, what? Tell me about your salvation. Hey, no one in this house is going to boast in themselves. They're going to boast in the Lord. Because those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who are saints according to God's righteousness, we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Do you know what God's provision was? God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ, get this, died for us. He died for us. And he died a death we should have died. But he died for us voluntarily, willingly, because he loves us. For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Which speaks to the fourth thing that I want to just bring your attention to, which is our response in the house. Our response. God's creation, our condition, God's provision, our response. So you might be here today and you say, I want that. I want that everlasting life. I want that eternal life. I want that hope. I want that limitless bread of life. Jesus very clearly says, repent and believe in me. Repentance, don't be scared of repentance. We've had that all messed up with crazies that go down to Bourbon Street and turn and burn people. We've been kind of messed up by churchy people. They've gotten really angry and non-Christ-like with it. Repentance is a beautiful word. Repentance is a life-giving word. Because if you're here today, listen, contrary to public opinion, and you don't know Jesus Christ, you've made a decision to make either yourself Lord or this world. And we've established that yourself and this world are limited. You want to experience limitless? You've got to die to yourself or this world. And that's repentance. Repentance isn't just some sob story during a music, you know, set after a preacher preaches, you know, singing Just As I Am or whatever else. No, repentance is action. It's bigger than emotion. It's turning from yourself or from this world, and it's turning, as we just shared, to Jesus. It's receiving him as Lord and Savior. Repentance and belief. I love the story going back to John chapter 6. Jesus shares, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes will never be hungry. Whoever believes will never thirst. I love this story because what ends up happening, Jesus has a whole bunch of people following him at this time. He had been healing. He had been proclaiming his Father's glory, doing some unbelievable things. And so he begins to elaborate, okay, if you want this bread of life, Jesus says this, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Now, we got to get out of our seminary worlds, and with access to our Bible at every angle, these people were probably tripping at this time. They were probably saying, okay, where's the news trucks? We're going to have to start gnawing on Jesus' thighs. We've officially become a cult. It's over. We're going to wear matching PJs, drink Kool-Aid, and kill each other. That's what they're probably thinking. What kind of spiritual cannibalism is this? And so Jesus has to say, look, when I say eat of your flesh, drink of my blood, I'm not saying cannibalism. He goes on to elaborate. He says, the words that I'm giving to you, and this is what we're offering you today, the words that I'm giving to you are not of this world. He says, the flesh, no help at all. The words that I'm giving to you, they are of spirit and they are of life. They're greater than this world. And so some of the people are like, I still don't understand. You're stretching me. This is not easy. I don't really understand. You're calling us to surrender. Listen, may I assure you here in this house, it's not easy following Jesus. It's not. It's not easy. To follow him is a narrow path. It's a path that the majority of people that you hang out with here in this city are not choosing. So Jesus turns to this group, and instead of saying what we typically like to say in our churches, well, it's okay for you to believe whatever you want to believe. May I get you a latte after to keep you around? Jesus doesn't care about church growth. He cares about transformed lives. That's what he cares about. And so Jesus looks out and you know what he does? He says, there's some of you who don't believe. See, you can fool mama. You can fool hubby. You can fool your coworkers. Man, you can be in the house and you can be lifting up your hands during worship set. Jesus knows who's doing that really worshiping Jesus and who's doing that to try and impress a girl in the house. Jesus knows. So Jesus tells all these people, look, there's some of you who do not believe, and you never guess what happened. The majority of people said, peace, I'm out. And so all that's left is the 12. Now, at this moment, if my church had gone from 100 people to 12, I'm definitely turning to the chairman, the deacons, and to everybody else and saying, what can I do to keep you around? Because I'm more justified by your presence in my life than the call of God. Not Jesus. Y'all know that Jesus would never have been invited to all of our cool Christian church growth conferences. He would have never been one of the popular speakers at a conference. He looks at the 12 and he says to the 12, do you want to go away as well, homies? Homies is in the new King James Version, I promise. Go read the King James Version. Will ye also go away? And so the 12 are like, what? We're your boys. We've sacrificed everything. I mean, we're struggling here. You haven't even hooked us up with an Airbnb on this journey. Like, what's going on here? Campfires, all this stuff. Of course we're in, Jesus. And he turns to the 12. He's turning to some of y'all here in this house because you've been journeying with Vintage through the entire 10-year journey, and yet you've never given your life to Jesus. And the enemy is deceiving you to think that somehow through your religious affiliation you're going to be saved. No, you won't. You're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. So he turns to the 12. He says, do you want to go away as well? And our boy Simon Peter. Anybody love Simon Peter in the house? I love Simon Peter. Me and Dustin, we're about to preach through Revelation together. John's a smart one. In heaven, Dustin and John are going to hang together. They've hardly done anything wrong in their life. They know it all. I'm hanging out with Peter. Me and Peter are going to be boys. We're idiots. We do things in dumb ways. We don't, you know, always follow through. This is the life of Peter. And so Peter doesn't always get things right, but in this moment he does. Look at the screen. He responds to Jesus with the very thing that Jesus demands. You want to be a part of this bread of life, you must believe and you must come, right? And so what does Peter say? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life and we have believed. Everybody say believed. And have come, everybody say come, to know that you are the Holy One of God. And guys, when some preachers preach this, man, we were starting to have a little church up in this place, right? Man, they start getting their preacher voice going, and they start saying that Simon Peter looked at Jesus, and he was full of confidence, and he was about to preach the word, and he started to slap the pulpit, and he looked at Jesus, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the... I don't see it that way. It's Peter. Peter's probably confused. He doesn't understand all the theology. He's probably struggling, probably hungry, wondering where we're going to finally get to go to an Airbnb. What's going on? I don't understand everything. Anyone in the house right now confused? Anyone in the house not feeling worthy enough to be around Jesus? Anybody had a tough week? Anybody feeling struggling inside? Anybody beat up? Anybody feeling challenged? Listen, may I submit to you, don't buy the lie that the enemy is planting all over this city where you've got to get yourself all religious and all perfect and then come to Jesus. Don't buy. That lie is sending people straight to hell in this city. May I submit to you, if you're struggling, if you're hurting, if you're broken, come to Jesus just as you are. Come to him just as you are. For the gospel is not you can and you will. Don't buy that hogwash. The gospel is you can't, but Jesus did. And because Jesus did, you can. Come and believe in the name of Jesus.